go to Matthew chapter number 9, and I'm going to share something with you that was a blessing to me over the last week. The Lord sends little things your way and during times when you just need them, and I'll tell you the story in just a second, but God gave me a reminder about this portion of Scripture, and He always seems to supply what we need when we need it. And so let me read the portion of Scripture. I'll share the story with you. Matthew chapter number 9. If you look in verse number 1, Matthew 9 verse number 1, let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. What an amazing story, beautiful story. Bible says in Matthew chapter number 9 verse 1, and he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of palsy, lying on a bed, and Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, well, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is it easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. And when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to be a help and an encouragement tonight. And Lord, thank you for so much of the Bible that's just geared to be that very thing in our lives, to be that encouragement, to remind us of promises. Lord, little stories, little phrases, verses here and there that just lift us up when we need to be lifted up. And Lord, give us the strength and encouragement and motivation to just keep serving you. And so, Lord, I want to be a blessing to your people in the way you are a blessing to me this week. So, Lord, I pray that that would happen. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Excellent. Good. Good. I love watching new visitors come to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I like watching them react to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. There's a couple of things that I know is always going to get an interesting reaction for people that's never been here before. First of all, thank you, church, for doing both of these things. Number one, I love to see their reaction when we start singing. Amen. And sadly, the vast majority of churches, and I think I can say this, and anybody that's visited out a little bit can say this, their song services are nothing to brag about. I don't understand this whole idea of not singing or sitting there with a songbook mumbling through verses in the Bible. I'm blessed. I hope that you see it. I hope that you know it. The song service to me is a blessing here. And it's because, you know what? I'm not just singing words. I'm not just singing words, and my mind's a million miles away. I'm living the songs. I love these old hymns of the faith. I love these old hymns of the faith. I love the way God used people to write some of these beautiful choruses and verses, and what they do for our hearts and what they mean to us is just so powerful in our lives. And so I like to watch them react when everybody starts singing, and they just kind of start looking around like, is this allowed? Can you actually sing this like this in church? And then, again, let me thank you for helping me with this. But as I'm preaching the Bible, and some of y'all get to say an amen, thank you for doing that also. And again, I think most of them are used to attending churches, or maybe the churches they have attended in the past, that, you know, they don't hear many amens. They don't hear people cheering the preacher on while he's preaching. And I love both of those things. You know, Christians have their own language, our own lingo, and it's all based in Scripture, but you know, I've heard some pretty interesting things said to encourage the preacher. I'm not talking about the standard praise the Lord or amen or hallelujah, and those are good, but you know, especially in Bible college, it seems like guys wanted to come up with new things to shout at the preacher while he's going on. So, you know, I remember one guy sat beside me one time, jumped up and said, you got the truck loaded? Take off, man, take off, you know, and I thought, if that happened to Blessed Old Baptist Church, we'd probably have to lead that young man out of here, you know. But, you know, there's certain words that are encouragement to us, certain words that we can go to. I was cleaning out the office, and one of the things we do every summer is we try to take a little bit of time during the summer, and we try to just go through and declutter You know, decluttering is a good thing to do. It's a good thing to do at the church. It's a good thing to do it at your house, in your home. Sorry, guys, even in your garage, it's a good thing to do from time to time to declutter a little bit. And so I was just going through a handful of filing cabinets that we have ignored for several decades and decided, okay, all the things that are in these filing cabinets that are so important, how much of it do we really need? So I was decluttering. And years ago, I read this portion of Scripture, and I got curious about a little phrase in this portion of Scripture. And the phrase is found in verse number 2. I believe in verse number 2. Yes. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And I got curious one day in my Bible study, just my Bible reading, about that little phrase, be of good cheer. Now, I wanted to go and see what it meant and do a little research on it. And let me try to help you. And if you feel differently than I do on this, we won't argue about it. But I'm King James Version only. I believe that the King James Bible is the preserved Word of God. One of the things I've set out to do for 2024 is I'd really like to take a series of lessons and just really get our church solid on this. Why do we use the King James Bible? Is that just a preference? Is it a conviction? What are the reasons, preacher? And why is there so many other translations out there? And so I want you to know I'm 100% King James Bible. I know some guys that are so King James Bible that they want to criticize anybody that goes back to the original languages. And they want to act as if you're a Bible corrector. And so I said, well, when you don't understand a verse or a phrase or a word, what do you go to, you know? Well, I go to the 1826, is that what it is? 1826, 20 what? 28, you know, Webster's Dictionary, because that's the inspired Word of God too, you know? I'm going to go there. And then I said, so then you go there and you look at other words that shed light on that word? Yes. And then I say, you Bible corrector. You know, sometimes we're just crazy in some of the things we get off on. And it gets to be this, I'm sorry, but there's just people that are determined. I'm more right than you. I'm more holy than you. I'm more separated than you. I'm more. And honestly, I just takes a little bit of that. I get tired of it real quick. You know, if you can go to 1828 Webster's Dictionary to get some clarification, what is wrong with going to the original language to get some clarification, okay? I'm not trying to correct the Bible. I'm trying to study to show myself approved unto God so that I can help my people understand a portion of Scripture. And I say that because we do have college students here, and I don't know what you hear in Bible college, and you're going to hear from one spectrum to the other. But, you know, don't get off on this holier than thou and think you have a, you know, just leave everything at that Bible college that causes you to come back and be a Pharisee and criticize your home church and your home pastor, all right? I promise you in 2 years of Bible college, you haven't learned more than your pastor knows, okay? So just be careful about going off on tangents on this thing. And so I like to study the original Greek words. I think they shed light. In a way, excuse me, that the 1828 dictionary doesn't shed light on some of the words in the Bible. Now, one of the things that's interesting as you look at the two languages, anytime you have something translated from one language to another, the truth of the matter is, it doesn't matter which language it is, there's never a word-for-word exact translation. For instance, if you go to the phrase, and you can study it out, be of good cheer. Okay, that's four English words, be of good cheer. Guess what? That's one Greek word. And that's not uncommon at all when you're talking about translating from one language to another. You know, there might be one solid word in Spanish that conveys to Spanish-speaking people exactly what you're saying, but when we try to describe that word, we don't have an exact word that conveys that in the strength it needs to, so we have to create a phrase instead. I've preached with translators a few times in my life, and sometimes I'll say something very simple in English, and I'll stop, and they'll translate, and they translate, and they translate, and they translate, and I think to myself, what are they telling the people that I just said? probably they're trying to find Spanish phrases that explains my Southern Indiana dialect is probably what they're trying to do in our phraseology that we use around here. I'm sure at times they're just hopeless, you know. But there's one word, tharseo. Tharseo, it's a Greek word, tharseo, and it is translated in our King James Bible, be of good cheer. And years ago I found this, and I don't know why it was such a blessing to me, but we're going to take you to three times. Jesus said, be of good cheer three times. And every single one of them, there's a good reason he said it. And I fell in love with this little Greek word, tharseo. And you know what? I was so blessed when I studied this out, found the other places in the Bible. By the way, you know, you can do the same thing. Listen, this isn't just a preacher preparing messages. It's a wonderful thing when you graduate from just reading the Bible to studying the Bible. When, as you read your Bible, as you find phrases, as you begin to ask questions and you get curious, you know what? Let the Bible take you on a trip from time to time. You know, get your concordance out and chase down a phrase or chase down a word. And it's amazing what the Lord, I'm going to tell you have living inside of you the best Bible teacher in the universe, okay? You have the Holy Spirit of God, and he just loves to find someone who's hungry enough to get into the Bible and kind of dig in. And this was just not to preach a message. This was my morning devotions, and I just got captivated by this little phrase, and I thought, I wonder if this little phrase, this little one Greek word that's translated into four English words, I wonder if Jesus used it anywhere else. And next thing you know, Brother Joe, as many times happens, our personal Bible study, God turns it into a message. And so I just started over the course of the next few days. Maybe the Lord let me discover this because I needed it. There was a lot of things going on at that time in my life. And every time, I just needed tharseo. I just needed that Greek word. So I started writing it on little stick-it notes. And I'd stick it in my office. And then I'd stick it at home on something. I'd put it out on my shop. And it's just like, listen, no matter what you have to face in life, tharseo, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer, you know. And I kept being brought back to the reasons Jesus said that word. And it just blessed me. And sometimes you'll get on something like this, and you know what? It'll just carry you for a while. And so, you know, good night. I'm sure that's been at least 13, 14, 15 years ago when I had that little episode. So I'm going, started to tell you, I'm going through the office cleaning out things, and on the outside of a file was one of these sticky notes had ended up somehow on the outside of this file, and there it was, tharseo. And I couldn't help but smile. You know, I couldn't help but say, thank you, Lord. Thank you right now in a time of my life where I needed to hear, be of good cheer. You know what? That you kept that little stick-it note somehow. Probably ended up on my desk, and then it ended up on a file, outside of a file. Then I filed the file, and here the Lord 13, 14, 15 years later lets me pull it out and says, hey, it's still in there. It's still in there. So we're going to look at this tonight. We're going to go to the three places where we see Jesus use this and why he used it, when he used it. And what we're going to find out, let me just kind of say this in introduction. What you're going to notice is, you know what? It's a phrase that literally means take courage. I mean, be of good cheer. Take courage. And it goes beyond that. Just not take courage, but be bold. Have confidence. Watch this. When you want to be discouraged, instead of being discouraged, be daring. So it's one of those words that takes a situation where you want to back up and tells you, don't back up, you know, press on. Okay, don't quit. You know what? Start something new for the Lord. And it's just one of those great Bible words that I hope will be a blessing to you. When should it be used? Well, when we notice that someone is losing courage. Come on, we need this word, tharseo. If you're losing courage, if you're starting to lose faith, tharseo. When somebody's fearful or afraid, tharseo, we're going to see this in the stories. When somebody's lost their confidence, tharseo, lost their spiritual daring. I like that, spiritual daring. You know what? Dare to step out again. Hey, young people going off to Bible college, maybe you ought to write this word down somewhere and just keep it with you, stick it in your Bible somewhere, because in the course of the next several weeks, you're going to need to hear the word tharseo. It's used to challenge the discouraged to take heart. I like this. I wrote the word discouragement down in my office. And then I looked in the middle of the word discouragement. And if you take the dis off one end and the ment off the other end of it, you know what you'll find in the middle of discouragement? You'll find the word courage. Tharseo literally means, watch this, find courage in the midst of discouragement. And so Jesus used this word three times in his earthly ministry. So let's jump in and let's take a look at him. We read the very first time in our text. I don't know what this man's sins were, and it really doesn't matter. But Jesus said, the first time we find it at the end of verse number 2, be of good cheer. Tharseo, be of good cheer. Why? Thy sins be forgiven thee. And folks, listen to me. There's nothing more discouraging than sin in our lives, and there's nothing more damaging sometimes than unforgiven sin. You know, I don't know what this man's sin was, but it was having, I think, we can say this, not just a physical crippling effect on him, but a spiritual crippling effect. And you know what? Sin, unconfessed sin, will do that to you. Unforgiven sin is a death sentence for the unsaved. Think about that. It's a death sentence for the unsaved. It brings a sense of doom. It brings with it the crippling effects of guilt. It bows us down. Come on. Unconfessed sin bows us down, bears us down, beats us down. Sin can take a strong young person and lay them low. Sin can take a strong adult man and reduce him to a spiritual cripple. You know what sin does, folks? It saps our strength, saps our joy, saps our enthusiasm. It leaves us spiritually listless and lifeless. And listen, I just want to say this, and I think the Sunday night crowd, but if you've never been saved, I want to say this. There's forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's deal with salvation first. David wrote of the hopeless, helpless feeling associated with sin. In Psalms 40, he said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Listen to this. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet on a rock and established my goings. Before a person is saved, the feeling of hopelessness and despair is akin, likened to being trapped in a pit. And salvation is likened to God reaching down into the pit and pulling us out. I mean, think about that. Salvation is the pit prayer of faith from the heart of a sinking sinner to the ear of a sinless Savior. And folks, listen to me. You won't get that through religion. Okay, a Catholic priest came by. Think about somebody down into the pit. Pit of sin, a Catholic priest can come by, and you know what? He can sprinkle the pit. He can toss into the pit a wine and a wafer, but you know what? When he leaves, the man's still in the pit. Christian Scientist comes along and says, you only think you're in a pit. It's just your state of mind. Calvinist came by and said, God created you for the pit. Isn't that sad? The charismatic comes by and says, just name it and claim it, you won't be in the pit. And then they walk off, and guess what? You're still in the pit. Jehovah Witness will come by and say, I sure am glad that I'm one of the 144,000 that's not in the pit. Too bad for you. The psychiatrist can come by and say, how does being in a pit make you feel? How does it make you feel? An optimist can come by and see the man and say, listen, things could be worse. A pessimist will come by and say, things will get worse. You know, Confucius can come by and see a man in a pit and say, in your next life, maybe you won't have to be in a pit. Buddha can come by and see a man and say, it's a shame I can't reach you, or I'd pull you out of the pit. It's a shame I can't reach you. But you know what? The only one that can get us out of the pit is Jesus. When Jesus came by, folks, he was willing to climb down into the pit and lift us up out of the pit and hand us to the Heavenly Father. You think about that. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. And one of the things that we can take cheer, I mean, be of good cheer and take this idea of being confident and get our courage back is to remember something. The devil's going to try to discourage you over this thing called sin. And folks, we all fall short. But you know what? That's why we have 1 John 1:9. And sometimes I think, well, I've used it so many times, I think God's sick of it. He's never sick of a sinner coming to him saying, Lord, I want to get things right. He's going to tell you, there's no use trying, you can't do it. That is a lie of the devil. You know what? If you found yourself back in the pit of discouragement, aren't you glad Jesus will still climb down in the pit and help get you out? 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And he looks at this man that was sick of a palsy, and he doesn't say, because he's worried about what everybody's going to think, he doesn't say, arise, take up thy bed and walk. He got right to the core of the problem, and he said, hey, arise, your sins are forgiven. Be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven. If you've never been saved, Christ wanted me to tell you this tonight. Guess what? Forgiveness is available. Well, that's the best message a preacher can bring. You know, what is the response of our Savior to the prayer of a sinner? You know, when he hears the sinner's prayer from a sincere heart, you know what he says? Tharseo, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. I don't know how to bring a better message than that. Take courage, be bold, have confidence, be daring. You know why you can do that? Your sins are gone. Your sins are gone. Buried in the deepest sea. How about Psalms 103 verse 12? As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Christians, listen, it's just not the lost that have to deal with sin. Come on, sometimes we have to deal with unconfessed sin in our life. And again, you know what? Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Thy sins are forgiven. And some of you, come on, if we're not careful, we can all get into this. You begin to let the devil beat you up about your past. I don't know why I'm mentioning this as often as I have the last several weeks, but sometimes when God just keeps bringing you back to a truth, it's because maybe somebody in here is struggling and you need to hear it more than one time. I don't want the devil to do that to the people of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. He's a liar. He's a bully. And he'll reach back in your past and try to bring things up that, you know what, has been buried and taken care of and forgiven. And by the way, in God's mind, forgotten. And then he wants to bring that to our remembrance. You've all heard me say this more than once, but my dad used to say, when the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. Amen. Think about that. If you're being plagued with guilt over some past sin, listen, that you've confessed and gotten under the blood, it isn't the Lord that's bringing it up to you again. God has forgiven it. God has forgotten it. So, tharseo, hey, be of good cheer. Thy sins are forgiven thee. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 14. Let's look at the second place we find this little phrase, be of good cheer. This one Greek word that was translated into four English words here, tharseo, in Matthew chapter 14. Look, if you will, in verse number 22. What a great story. Three great stories we're going to visit tonight. Verse 22, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him into the other side. And when he sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea. You know, this is the circumstance, folks, where sometimes we need to hear this word. Toss. Think about what you're going through in life. Think about maybe where you're at right now. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. I wish I could have seen that. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, here it is. Look at that. Be of good cheer. Go check it. Go check it. One word, tharseo, it is I, be not afraid. So the first time he uses this, he says, tharseo, thy sins be forgiven thee. Be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. The second time we find this, it says again, tharseo, or be of good cheer, I am here. I am here. At a time when they couldn't find Jesus, at a time when they thought that they were alone, he just came to them and reminded them, listen, be of good cheer. Come on, take courage. Take that word discouragement. Knock the front of it off. Knock the back of it off. And find the word in the middle. And take courage, because you know why you can take courage? I'm with you. I am here. Be of good cheer. Don't be afraid. I've watched individuals go through storms. You know, I hope that you have a sensitivity. I hope that you have a sensitivity when it comes to the people around you. We need to. We need to watch over our families. How about that, you know? Because different family members are going to go through different things. We need to have a sensitivity when it comes to the members of our church and just keeping an eye on each other, watching out for people. Hey, we need to keep a sensitivity towards even lost people in our community that are maybe going through hard times and you hear of it. And you know what? They need a Christian. They need a Christian to come by and give them some real hope during a time like that. And so it's a wonderful thing when you just kind of keep your radar and watch out for people that are going through tough times. Sometimes it's individuals. Sometimes it's an entire family just going through a tough time where, you know, the devil's just kind of, you know, he stirred up the waves and he's got the wind blowing and it seems like their boat's filling up with water and they're doing everything they can to try to bail it out and keep it from sinking. And you know what? You know what they really just need? They just need somebody to come along and say, hey, Tharseo, hey, you know what? It's not time to despair. It's not time to live in fear. You know what? Jesus is here. Jesus is here. He's not gone anywhere. He's here. They couldn't see him, but he could see them. They couldn't get to him, but he came to them. And so sometimes I watch families go through storms. You know what? You don't have a church for 50 years without a church going through some storms. And I've not only watched Blessed Hope having to weather some storms from time to time, but I've seen other good preachers and other good churches go through things that, you know what, threaten to sink the ship. And you know what, again, sometimes they just need, you know, sometimes a preacher on the other side of the country just needs the phone to ring and hear another preacher, come on, and nobody else will do it, I'll do it. Maybe they just need to hear Jerry Ross say, hey, I just called you to give you a word. Tharseo, be of good cheer. You know what? Jesus is right there. He is right there. Maybe you need to hear that tonight. You know, you think about this. Here's ships in the midst of an angry sea tossed with waves. The wind's contrary. Come on. Many times the storm rages on in what seems to be an endless night. The fourth watch, it's almost dawn. So this is not something that just came and stayed for an hour or two. This is something that taxed them physically and mentally and spiritually, and they are to the point of despair. Will the night ever end? Will this night ever end? Sometimes it's not just a night that involves the rising of a sun. Sometimes it's a period of our life, a time frame of our life where it just seems like we can't find the dawn, we can't see the sun. And you know, again, folks, I hope during times like this, God will bring this little phrase to you. Be of good courage. Be of good courage. In the parable of the two foundations in Matthew chapter 7, verse 25, you think about that. I've got to go back and study that sometime. But I call this the trifold attack of Satan. Tridirectional testings. I'll just read one verse. You're familiar with the story. You know, you better have your house built on a rock and not on the sand. You know why? Watch this. And the rain descended, okay? The rain's descending from above. And the floods came, which is attacking the foundation from below. And the winds blew and beat upon the house. Now, sometimes we'll go through a rainstorm. And sometimes we'll just go through a flood. And sometimes neither one of those are happening, but the wind's blowing. But a few times in our life, folks, it seems like the rain's coming and the floods are coming and the wind's blowing all at one time. And, it's easy to, listen, I don't know who I'm talking to or why God had me preach this tonight, but I'm telling you, listen to me. It's easy to believe that Jesus doesn't care. It's easy to believe that he's forgotten about us. He's forgotten about me. He has not. I want to say it again. He has not. He is there. He's never allowed you as one of his children to go into a storm where he's lost track of where you're at. You know what? If we read this in other portions, the same story, he was up on a mountain praying, but the Bible says he could see them from that mountain. And you know what? Sometimes, like I said, just because you can't see Christ doesn't mean he doesn't see you. And just because you can't get to him doesn't mean he's not on his way. He's not on his way. Sometimes he lets us just get our faith tested. But, you know, you're going to come through those times in lives. Come on, some of you, most of you already thinking back to a circumstance where, preacher, yes, we've endured the rain from above, and sometimes we've had to endure the flood from beneath, and sometimes we've had to endure the wind from the horizontal attack of the wind. But preacher, yeah, I could take you to two or three times where it just seemed like, you know what, tri-directional. Here's the phrase, tri-directional testing. And God steps back and allows it. You know what? Because he wants to test what kind of foundation that we're on. And that let's make sure that we're building our life solidly on the Lord Jesus Christ. And just about the time you lose hope, preacher, the night's never going to end. The rain's never going to let off. The floods are going to take down the house. The winds are going to tear it apart. Just about the time you're in the middle of the sea and you have bailed till your arms are tired and you don't have any strength. Isn't it wonderful that they looked up? And you know what? They saw Jesus walking on the water. And so he comes to them, and you know what he says? He says one Greek word. Yep, sorry, King James Bible crazy people. He used the Greek when he spoke to them, okay? Tharseo, be of good cheer. I'm here, okay? I'm here. I don't know what you're facing, but I think maybe Jesus sent me to the pulpit today to tell you this. Let's be of good cheer. Don't give up. Matter of fact, listen, why don't you, instead of taking a step back, take a step forward in faith? Why don't you, instead of quitting, launch out on some new endeavor for the Lord? Why don't you let him see your faith during a time when it's easy to lose faith? All right, John 16, we're going to the third one, John chapter 16. The third story, and this is a great story also, John chapter number 16. We'll begin in verse number 31, John 16, verse number 31. When's the first time he heard the word tharseo? When was the first time we discover this little phrase, be of good cheer, when we are reminded that our sins are forgiven? What's the second time, preacher, do we see it? When we're reminded that Jesus is with us, even when we feel like he's not, even when we feel like he's forgotten us, Jesus is there. Then how about John 16, verse 31. You talk about a great portion of scripture. John 16, 31. Here we go. Jesus answered them, do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Come on, Sunday school class, we're talking about that. How do we get that peace that passeth all understanding? In the world ye shall have tribulation. Come on, can I get an amen? That's true. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But tharseo, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The last time that we need to hear this little one word for a Greek word or four-word English phrase is when you feel like you're losing. Come on. Remember that through Christ, you've already won. And folks, we're all going to get there. Jesus asked in this a question in verse number 31. He said, do ye now believe? Do you now believe? He was saying, your faith is about to really get tested. Do you now believe? In verse 32, he says, the hour cometh, now is, and ye shall be scattered. I mean, he's predicting them forsaking him. And it's going to seem like that they've lost, and it's going to seem like they've failed. But he said, I want you to understand something. You know what? You don't have to worry about the world. You know why? I have overcome the world. You know why we can be of good cheer? We can find that word courage in the midst of discouragement. It's because Jesus has already won the victory, folks. I didn't say he was going to one day win the victory. He's already won the victory. The devil's a defeated foe. Jesus asked them, do you now believe? And it's almost like he was saying to them, listen, do you think we're going to win? Do you feel like you're winning? Preacher, let me just ask you a question. You ever feel like you're losing? Or maybe losing it? You know? I say this at home quite a bit to Cheryl, especially in the middle of chaos where it seems like a lot of things are going backwards. Or maybe we're having kind of a tough day. I look at her and say, honey, we're winning, aren't we? We're winning, aren't we? Kind of give her a chance to jump in with a little assurance there. Hey, we're winning, aren't we? I'll come to the office sometimes when it just seems like, man alive, we've had one of those weeks where everything's had to been redone, and seems like we've gone backwards more than we've gone forward, and it just seems like we're behind on just about everything. And I'll declare to the staff, hey folks, don't forget, we're winning. And they look at me like, how come it don't feel like we're winning? Because it don't feel like we're winning. But you know what? I say that kind of kidding, and I say that to have some fun, but honestly, I believe it. I believe it. On my worst day, I'm still winning. When it seems like the devil's winning, you know what? We can read the end of the book and know who really is going to win. And so, folks, be careful. Be careful. You ever had those stretches in your Christian life? Preacher, I'm trying as hard as I can. It seems like I take two steps forward and we get the thing going in the right direction. And then next thing you know, next week, we're pushed three steps backwards, you know. And, you know, God lets little things happen in our lives from time to time to remind you that, folks, it's in his hands. You know, he's going to win the victory for us. Sometimes he lets us get into those times of weakness, because in our weakness is when he shows how strong he truly is. And when everything seems to be falling apart, it's when we can really see God come in and, can I say this, save the day one more time. And by the way, when that happens, he gets the glory. You know, if I'm succeeding just because of Jerry Ross's perseverance or my intellect or my good planning, then next thing you know, I start patting myself on the back too much. But when things seem to be going wrong, terribly wrong, and then out of it, he produces an amazing victory, you know, we all sit back and we're reminded, Tharseo, be of good cheer. You know what? He's already overcome the world. I love to, from time to time, remind our church, and I want the young people to grow up and hear it, because a lot of them weren't here. They were too young to remember. But folks, listen to me. January of 2011. Come on, it's been 12 years ago now. January of 2011. You know, I got up in our vision night, and I said, folks, I don't really have one good reason for what I'm going to ask you to try to help me to do, other than I just feel like God wants us to do it. And I really examined my heart. Folks, I want to try to take me out of it. I want to take pride out of it. I felt like I was doing it for all the right reasons. I really felt like the Holy Spirit just kept impressing on my heart. The church has never had 500. We need to just show the community and show the world and show Greene County that God's still alive. So I told them, hey, on March 1st, which had been 5-01, you know, that it falls on a Sunday. And so here's what I've come up with. Be one of 501 on 5-01. And, you know, January and February, boy, I'm meeting with all the difference, the staff and Sunday school teachers and bus workers. And I mean, months ahead of time, we're planning how we're going to do this and what we're going to do. And we had special prayer meetings in March and April. We're spending our time working towards this. And, you know, we have January, we have February, Missions Emphasis Month. I'm teaching a young adult class. Dad is teaching in the auditorium, and so he's been out of the pulpit teaching his class for all of the month of February, because we pulled the two classes together, had missionaries. So he hadn't been in the pulpit for a month, and he gets up and begins to teach his Sunday school class, and he starts getting real confused. And folks, this is 2011. This is a few months before we're supposed to, on May 1st, have 501. And I remember David. I was downstairs teaching the young adult class. I was teaching it in where Christina Hall has her class now, because I can remember walking out that door and my brother David's leaning against the wall looking like this. He's like, hey, can I walk with you to your office? Sure. He's like, you need to listen to Dad's Sunday school lesson. What's going on? Said he was confused. It seemed like he was having a tough time, Jerry. I mean, and I said, David, listen, I said, you know what? He's older, and sometimes he gets tired, and sometimes he just struggles a little bit. He said, I think it's more than that. And you know what? I didn't listen to it. I just thought, you know what? Preachers struggle sometimes, you know? And so and then the next Sunday, I walk out of my classroom, and guess who's leaning against the wall again? And he's like, Jerry, you need to listen to the Sunday school lesson. I said, what happened? And he said, he went to teaching for a while. Some of you are probably in here listening to that Sunday school lesson. And by the way, that was the last time Dad stood behind the pulpit of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Got up that morning, had no idea it was the last time he was going to stand behind this pulpit. And David said he was teaching through the Revelation. He was teaching on the second coming of the Lord Jesus. He loved to teach on that subject. And he said he kept getting confused and kept repeating himself. And he said, Jerry, for the last 20 minutes, he said he just looked down at the Bible and realized he was struggling. So he just started reading the Bible. And he just read it for the last 20 minutes of his class. Just stood up here and read the Bible. And I thought, you know what? If a guy's got to go out and that's the last time he's going to stand behind the pulpit, what a way to go. Just reading the Word of God, you know. He knew that even if he was having trouble knowing what to say, that this book has never had trouble in what it needs to say. And so he just read the Bible for 20 minutes. And so the next day I was down in his living room. I mean, Monday morning I went down there and I said, Dad, I listened to your Sunday school lesson. You know, Dad, you know, and I said, I think there's something we need to get checked out. Oh, I'm okay. You know, amen. I said, well, you probably are. And I said, you know what? It might be the medications you're on. I don't know what it is, but Dad, we need to get it checked out. I want you to see the doctor. And I love this answer. He said, yeah, I'm going to see the doctor. I got an appointment at the end of May. I mean, here it is, March, okay? And I said, no, I mean, like, we kind of need to see the doctor. Like, I already called him. I think maybe Mom called him. And we've got an appointment for tomorrow. I want you to do me a favor, and I need you to go to the doctor. Well, okay. And he acted like, you know, I was being kind of overreacting, but he'd go, that'll make a long story short, you know, it wasn't, they did an MRI, and then we sat in a little room and watched on the screen, and as they went through that MRI, and there was a tumor about this big around, just right in the middle of his brain, in a place where they can't get to, it's inoperable, it's aggressive, it's fast growing, and all of a sudden we're dealing with this news that, you know what, this is, unless God performs a miracle, this is irreversible. This is going to take my father's life. And so, of course, word got out to the family, and we all, you know, understood that this is what we were facing. Now, folks, this is March. This is the second week in March, okay? So, you know, March, April, May 1st. And so Dad begins to have to deal with the effects of this. So our entire, come on, you've been there in your family. All of a sudden, everything you had planned and everything you think is important, and all of a sudden, you know what? All of a sudden, what's important is what's going on with Dad. And so I'm off my game. I'm pastoring at this time, but I'm off my game. Family's involved with it. The church, you know, we have to announce this to the church. I mean, this is the vast majority of the people at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, this is their pastor. This is the one that won many of them to the Lord. This has been the man that's helped them. And it wasn't just our family going through it. It was our whole church family going through it. Now, why do you tell this story? Because, folks, the rest of March and all of April, you know what? There wasn't a whole lot going on as far as worried about whether or not we were going to have 500 on May 1st. We still tried to keep things going. We still tried to keep the ministries going. And, you know, you have to just, come on. I don't just get to crawl into a hole somewhere. And you know what? I still had to pastor, and I still had to be ready to preach four times a week, and I still had to. But it's almost like you go into doing the bare minimum because you've got this thing you've got to deal with. You've got this person you love and care about that's going through this. And so, you know what? I don't know how much got done, not a whole lot. We had cards printed up. We had some advertisements go out. But, I mean, probably it was one of the least pushed big days and least pushed events at Blessed Hope Baptist Church in a lot of years. And then the Tuesday, folks, the Tuesday before the big day where we're trying to have 500, my dad goes to heaven. The Thursday before we're supposed to have 500 in Sunday school, be one of 501, we have the viewing here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church Thursday evening. The Friday before the Sunday where we're supposed to have 500, you know what? We have the funeral. We gather right here in this room with my dad right here, and we have the funeral, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And then all of a sudden, we get that done on Friday. Saturday, we're in a fog. All of a sudden, I'm thinking to myself, we're supposed to have this big day. And by the way, all of you at Blessed Hope Baptist Church was here. I mean, there's people that behind the scenes took care of stuff, made sure things were accomplished, made sure things were done. I mean, you stepped forward when you knew that your pastor couldn't. And I'm thankful for that. And but you know what? We didn't visit like we should have visited. We didn't push like we should have pushed. We just didn't do. And I remember coming here. I went to bed Saturday night and I couldn't sleep because all of a sudden I've got this big day plan. And so I can't sleep. So I get up about midnight and I get in the car and I drive over here. And I go in my office and I've got a clipboard with a bunch of things that's supposed to have been done. And I thought, I need to run around, make sure these things got done. And so I'm just like from midnight till 2 or 3 in the morning, I'm just going to the tent. We have tents we have set outside in the different areas. And, you know, I'm just going through the checklist, just praying that this stuff is done. The things I could see were done. Thank you, whoever got them done. Some things I couldn't see. I didn't figure someone wanted to call at 3 in the morning saying, hey, did you take care of this? You know, just, God, at this point, it's just what it is. And I can remember kneeling right there. I can remember this was my big prayer of faith. I remember saying, God, I don't expect us maybe to have a record attendance day. But God, I'd like us to have enough people where the church isn't discouraged. So at this point, God is in your hands. And just whatever you want to do, do it. But don't let our church be discouraged because they didn't ask for this. So help us to have a decent day. That was my great prayer of faith. Help us to have a decent day. You know, if we'd had 300, I'd have been happy. If we'd had 350, I'd have been doing cartwheels. You know, I mean, you that were here know the story. On that next Sunday morning, that morning, people start pulling in Sunday school and they filled the parking lot. And then for the main service, they're coming in and they're parking all the way around on the circle around here. And they're parking out there in the grass. And I mean, there's cars everywhere and people keep coming in and keep coming in and keep coming in. And you know what? By the time they figured up everything and turned in a final report, we had 665. Amen. 665. And you know what I think God said that day? Darcel. Hey, you know what? I've already won the victory. Amen. Okay, maybe something's going on in your life right now that's keeping you from being able to do everything that you wish you could do. Darcel. I've already won it. And I remember in the foyer looking at men in our church. I mean, men that are involved in the trenches. And they're looking at me shocked. And I'm looking at them shocked. And I'm like, where are these people coming from? And they're like, I don't know. But you know what? I think we did. I think we knew that God just decided he was going to show himself powerful. And, you know, the two biggest days that we've had so far, in a church attendance-wise, you know, in 50-year history, was 665. And I always say this when I tell the story, but Dorman Clark was our mayor then. He's in heaven now. But he heard that we'd had 665. So when I ran into him uptown at the restaurant, he come over and said, man, what a day y'all had. He said, you know, I wasn't able to make it. And you ought to be glad I didn't make it. You would have had 666. He said, you would have never lived it down. And I said, well, if you'd have brought your wife, we'd have had 667, you know, Baptist preacher. I'm always trying to, you know. And, you know, so we had the week my dad died, we have, you know, 665. The second highest attendance was on our 50th anniversary. And y'all just got to see that and be a part of it. 576, and then I go to CAR T treatment the next day. So when are you having the next big day? I'm not, all right? I mean, after a while, if this is what it costs to have that kind of a day, forget it. You know, the next guy can have a big day. I'm going to play it safe the rest of the way. I love this, folks. I love this. Hey, let me just give you this. We're done. Be of good cheer. Listen to me, Christians. Your sins are forgiven. Okay, stop listening to the devil. Stop letting him mess with you. Your sins are forgiven. Hey, those of you that are feeling like you're forsaken, forgotten, maybe you're in the middle of a storm and preacher, I can't find God, I can't find Christ. Hey, be of good cheer. Tharseo, you know what? He's there. He's there. And then some of us that maybe, preacher, I don't feel like we're winning. I don't feel like I'm winning right now in my Christian life. And you know what? Those are the times, if you're not careful, you'll be so tempted to quit. And you know what you need to hear tonight? You need to hear God say, you be of good cheer. You can't see it yet, but I've already won the victory. Just hang in there. Just be faithful. Just do what I've asked you to do. And let me worry about the outcome. Aren't you glad we serve a God that says to us three times, be of good cheer. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this little reminder. Thank you for a stick-it note that somehow survived for, I don't know, 14, 15 years, 16 years. I don't know. I'd have to go back and look at when I studied this and preached it. But thank you, dear God, that you send those little reminders into our life. Thank you, Jesus, for these three times that you had in your preserved word. You had this little phrase preserved for us. Thank you that we can go to the stories, we can see the circumstances, and we can find ourselves. And Lord, thank you for just helping us and being there for us. And Lord, I hope from time to time, when we are discouraged, when we're facing discouragement, that you'll remind us of the word that is in the midst of discouragement. Lord, I don't want us just to be of good cheer. I don't want us just to be a little bit encouraged. I want us to dare to take a step forward by faith, to dare to do something bigger for God. When everything the devil in the world's throwing at us would tempt us to quit, instead, we do just the opposite, where we're going to say, we're going to step out and we're going to show the world what our God can do. And so, Lord, bless the families in our church and the people of our church and many, many folks in our church going through some difficult things. And Lord, they have gone through some difficult things of late. So, Lord, I pray this has been a blessing. Meet with us now during the time of invitation, we pray in Jesus' name.